This is part two of a two-part episode that we're going to be doing on our channel. If you haven't watched part one, go watch it.
It's all about how has a relationship succeeded?
And obviously, the natural following episode must be how our relationship has failed.
Which a lot of people, surprisingly, are looking forward to.
Yeah, I was like, I'm glad you're looking forward to hearing from us. Maybe not under these contexts, but great.
But I think it's also an interesting thing. Like, usually people talk about how their relationship has failed when it stopped.
Yeah, rather than when you're still in it.
Ongoing, yeah. But before we jump onto the episode, happy Sunday. Hello, everybody. How are you doing? Hello, Lucy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm really good. Our fly's freezing because typical flat problems. Because even though we have triple glazed windows, we're starting to get mold and humidity. And so you have to like open the windows to make sure that that doesn't happen. But then the flat is freezing. And I'm just wondering, like, where's the solution here? Uh-huh. We are in 2023. Where is the solution for the humidity and mold problems in an apartment?
That's a good question. And I think that it'll be a question for another episode.
I think it will be a question for no episode. But... But you asked how I was, and that was the first thing that came up.
True.
How are you?
I'm doing great, doing good.
Should we have a little
smashing
10-minute starter on you, or should we save that for next week's episode? Huh? I think there would be a lot of things to talk about, so maybe we should save that.
Yeah, let's keep the news for next week. I feel like we have a good direction for this episode. We know our topic. But, happy Sunday. Very happy to be back in Glasgow.
Yeah, actually, surprisingly,
we've been going back to the gym. We went, which felt very good. We are back cooking. We're back going on our badminton days on Saturdays and Sundays, which we did today.
Yeah.
This morning.
Saunas.
Sauna. You went to the sauna, which you didn't before.
Yeah, I went 5 or 6 times this week.
Feels good, right?
Feels great. I'm really into it. I mean, I used to hate saunas, and then Emilio kind of convinced me to try them out, and now I love them. And my skin has never looked better.
Let's go. So. I personally had a lot of fun last week to talk about the different ways we think, at least, that our relationship has succeeded and made it an enjoyable ride, let's say. And yeah, so very looking forward to this episode. I don't think, you know, failure has a very bad taste to it, like the word.
Yeah.
But I think...
Yeah, it sounds like the next episode is us going to be saying goodbye to the podcast and then we break up.
But I think there's been many lessons that wouldn't have been possible without some bumps on the road for us, which I think are super interesting to explore, you know, on looking backwards. And I think I personally am appreciative for these moments because, you know, they put us on the next step, on next level, which I think is super interesting. I don't think I'd expected, you know, to have this kind of relationship that has such a growth inside of it. So I'm very looking forward to.
I mean, I think if you have a perfect relationship and that you've never had any problems, you're gonna like fail. It's just inevitable. I mean, especially when you're in a young couple, you grow up together. Technically, like when I met Emilio, I was 19 and he was 21. We're now 22 and 24. Well, so we've grown a lot throughout that time. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but realistically, you're going to have issues throughout that.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Because I feel like, as we spoke in the last episode, being with someone else is very much different than being on your own.
Yeah.
And I think that you learn both about yourself, about the other, what you want in a relationship. So, and I feel like, you know, a lot of the times, because it's so new, you cannot predict these things. You'd have to eventually face a wall.
Yeah.
And then you can either decide, you know, to have it in a plain face, or, you know, you can both look at it and, I don't know.
What do you think our first argument was?
Our first argument was...
It could be, like, really little or really big.
Mm.
I think I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You made a comment?
Yes, I did. I made a comment that that boys shouldn't make.
That did not have ill intentions, but ill impressions of this comment were made.
Yeah.
Basically, Emilio, without meaning to, called me fat.
No. That's not it. So effectively, I feel like one thing you definitely learn fast is...
There's certain vocab towards a woman that you can and can't use.
Yeah, and also like there's ways of saying things.
Yes.
For example, like the example was, I thought that, you know, you had made jokes about my underwear being a bit too small, like for my age.
Like, no, you know, like to 2005. You want to put it like that, not too small for you, too outdated for a grown man.
And so I was like, and I don't know, one day I made a similar comment to you, like, oh, it's a bit small as well. And then obviously I was just saying, you know, we should buy new underwear. And then, but this is not how you as a woman perceived it.
Well, If you were trying to say we should buy new underwear, your comment should have been we should buy new underwear. It shouldn't have been those look a bit small. So, and that was our first argument. That was during the pandemic.
Yeah, we were like maybe
3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I would say even 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Like it was very early, very early.
Also, it wasn't like a huge deal. I mean, I was upset, but like...
Yeah, you were upset.
You kind of have to get that over if the first time that the person like makes you sad. Makes you angry, like, yeah. Get out of the way. Don't hold up anger towards someone.
And really, there was no intention of things. I think that you were very understanding in the fact that it was a very miscalculated comment. Like, yeah, like in my head, I was nowhere near to say that. Like, you know. But so those are the little things, I guess.
You should have pulled like the foreigner card or something. True. I think you did, actually.
Yeah, but it was probably too late.
Yeah.
So that I think that was the first one, but maybe it was just maybe. I think that it was getting to know that there's ways of saying things. There's like things you probably should or shouldn't say.
It's really like a heterosexual couple problem, like, yeah. Where we like, you're not the other gender, I'm not a man and you're not a woman, so we don't really know what the other person like is triggered by gender wise and like, yeah. I guess because it was your first relationship, so you'd never made that mistake before where you'd said like a comment like that to a woman even though you didn't mean it. And I've probably said things as well, like about a man, that I've just, because I just don't understand men and you don't understand women, like, you sure, when you get deeper into relationship you can say you have a better understanding, but at the end of the day, like, I'm not a man and you're not a woman,
which I think is a beautiful segue to this very hard lesson, which is, it took me some time to accept the fact that I couldn't understand you fully.
Yeah,
I think there was a moment where, you know, of course you should be able to understand each other, of course you should like know, but like what is to understand someone else's position? It's like understanding their feelings, understanding what they felt physically inside, you know, the emotional. And truthfully, if we're being honest with each other, you can't 100% feel like, there's certain scenarios that we both share that we can understand.
Yeah,
but like things that are very specific to one another, depending on our, you know, experience, life, and who we are. At the end of the day, if you want to be honest with yourself, I had a hard time accepting that I couldn't understand you. But I think that was the first time, the moment I accepted that, it was a big change for our relationship.
Yeah, like, I guess that's probably been a big theme in the relationship, like trying to understand the other person. And it gets to the point where you have to go, actually, I don't understand this part of you. Do you want to help me? Or do we just, like, when this happens, we just give each other a bit of space, like, to understand. This is going to be a segue, but I'm coming back to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just because it brought me to my dissertation. So I'm relating this to my dissertation. But so I'm studying the subaltern philosophy right now, and I promise this will make sense in a minute. And it's really about how, you know, certain people, i.e. people of color, women over men, people from developing countries, don't get to have that same kind of perception. They don't get to tell their story. But the way, one thing that came up with me is the harem. And there was this really famous painting in the 1840s, something like that, by Delacroix.
Maybe.
A famous painter. And he drew the harem, which a man can only attempt to understand what the harem room looks like, because he was not a woman nor Muslim, so he wouldn't understand what the harem was. And so this art was his perception of trying to understand something.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of brings into the idea, like, so there's some things you just can't understand because you're not that person.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely things that, and you know, I don't think that it means that it stops there. I think it's actually the beginning, in a way that, you know, when I tell you, listen, honestly, even if I try very, very hard on my own to understand you, I am incapable of like really picturing what it feels like. And I think that from, there's been like a few moments where we sat down and we were, and you know, we would ask very basic questions like, how did you feel? Or like, how does it feel to be in that position? Or how, you know, how physically speaking, how did you feel at that moment and that kind of stuff? But I think that because we acknowledged the fact that there was a lack of understanding because of our differences, then we accepted that we could maybe go on the path to understanding.
Yeah.
Because we took it as for a fact that we were already on the baseline of understanding.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the common ground. But we were not even there.
Yeah.
I think that was a game changer. But it, unfortunately, like, I think it maybe took me 2 years.
Yeah. Do you know, I was just thinking about a moment there that I think we started to like exceed in that, that part where I have like, I don't really know if I have anxiety because I've never went to a doctor about it, but I have like random explosions mentally, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do. And like, I build up a lot of things. And so when I explode for the first kind of 2 years, Emilio would try and be with me and try and like understand, because you're not someone that has those explosions that I have. And I was always kind of also relying on you to help me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
When the truth is, like, the only way I'll feel better in that case is if you leave the room, I'm alone for an hour, and I like watch some numbing TV and eat a cookie and have a cup of tea. Like, that's the only thing that's gonna cure me. Nothing else, no conversation with you will ever cure it. Like, it's something I have to do on my own. And then I don't know, recently, like a couple of months ago, I had a little explosion and you left me in the room and I had a cup of tea and I felt great afterwards. Mm-hmm. And like, that was a, you kind of admitting, I don't understand what this is, but I've gathered what you need from me at this point.
Mm-hmm. Which is not being here.
Which is leaving the room.
And I think it's a great thing. Like, maybe there is like some sort of pressure, you know, where a couple is like socially defined as you need to be here for the other like 24/7. You need to understand them like 100%. You need to be, and maybe like there's truth to it, 100%. Like, there's definitely, I feel like a deeper connection between two individuals who, you know, share such amount of love.
Yeah.
But you cannot be the perfect person for every situation and every problem and every struggle that the other one is. Like, at the end of the day, life is a single player game. Like, sometimes you need to be alone.
Yeah, sometimes you need that moment alone. And like, that's not you saying to your partner, like, you don't know how to handle me, or we aren't connecting in this way. It's just you saying, again, it's a one player game. Give me a minute to reset before I join back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think that like it did. I mean, at least personally, it took me some time to accept this. But when I realized that, actually, I cannot understand you fully. It was actually a relief. Like, I felt like a sort of, because you feel like pressured for no reason that you must understand the other.
Like, yeah, you must get how they're feeling, and you just can't always.
Yeah,
and I mean, you're saying this like you absolutely don't understand me.
No,
understand me most, like,
it's just like
the odd times.
Exactly, it's odd times, extreme times where, like, you know, yeah, like it happens maybe, you know, every X amount of months, but when it does, you know, it's that maybe that 5% that I 5-10% that I don't fully understand, that I rather either tell you that I don't, or, you know, acknowledge the fact that there's differences.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of being in like a long-term relationship, just understanding the boundaries of someone.
Yeah.
What's another thing?
I have another one in mind.
Go ahead.
So we mentioned that last episode that is very different to live with someone than it is to live on your own, or like, you know, being in and not in a relationship.
Yeah.
I would say especially if you live together, it's much different than if you live in two different places. I would say that the biggest change that I had perceived was, well, at this point in the episode, in the podcast, for the long time listeners, you know, I'm a big gamer. At least I was a big gamer.
Yes.
You know, it felt normal that as soon as I'm home, it's gaming time. And obviously, when there's someone else next to you, you cannot gaming time every time you're in the house, because otherwise you effectively forget the other one. So I felt like, you know, there was like a rebalancing to be done when we started being together in the same place.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, I think this was more of an issue in 2020 because, like, I was living in Emilio's family house, so I didn't have any friends. It was a pandemic.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do. And Emilio had his friends in game the whole day. So It got to a certain point where I was like, listen, I need to talk to a human being today. Like, I can't just be on my computer. I need to talk to someone. Oh my gosh. But like, now it's better. I think it really was more of a pandemic issue because in that regard, like, we're quite independent in entertaining ourselves. Like, you like to go off and game, and I like to do whatever the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
And we're quite good at like having that separate time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come together at like 9 o'clock and watch a show or watch a movie.
Yeah.
And I think that like we learned the balance. I think it was more of a COVID issue.
Mm. I mean, we still, for example, sometimes I would be gaming. And then, you know, I know that, okay, at least come on, Emilio, you need to take 2 hours before bed so we can watch a show with Lucy. And, you know, there's always the old me that's like, come on, the boys are still playing, like we can still go. And then I'm like, no, but like that moment with Lucy is, you know, it's only 2 hours and it's a good 2 hours that I actually enjoy. But there's just this transitional moment between like huge stimulation gaming with the boys and then transitioning back to like going on and watch a movie, make tea and then chill. And then and I think it's something that you learn, like, You were, you know, doing your own thing for so many years, and now you have someone else in your life that you have to consider. You have to because, and it sounds bad, but you know, you love the other person, but somehow you still have your old habits, kind of.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, also, like, gaming is such a niche thing, like, for
not everyone
in games, but also, like, I'm very harsh on it, because I'm not a gamer, and I don't I've never dated a gamer before, so I don't really understand. So, like, sometimes I'll be making Emilio's dinner, and I'll ask him to do one thing, like, can you take the pasta out when the timer is on? And you can see his face, like, can I interrupt the game? And evilly, I'm always like, I don't care.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, you're like you know, those parents that don't ask you, like, as the kid, you can just pause the game. No, I can't fucking pause the game.
I know you can't pause the game. I'm just being like a dick about it, but I find it quite funny to just be like, no, you can take the pasta out.
It happens. Yeah.
But I know I'm doing it. Like, I know.
But I don't think it was a big failure. But as you mentioned, like, in 2020, that was a pandemic thing that just needed.
Yeah.
As I said, like, it was just a rebalancing. Rebalancing aspect.
Like, learning to work together.
Of things, yeah.
Another, like, I mean, a huge thing is just simple communication.
Go ahead.
I think that's just like a learning curve for every relationship. Like, because again, you're born alone, you die alone. So like, you're used to being alone, and then you realize you have to like communicate things with people. And that's, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of an instance we had where communication was an issue, because I know we've had it. I can't think right now, can you?
But I feel like...
Wait, sorry. It's so cold in this flat that I've got a runny nose.
Nice. I feel like it's such an easy thing to say, like, you know, communication is super important. But also, like, there's been so many instances where something that was common to you was like uncommon to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or like something that was obvious to me was unobvious to you. And yeah. So, you know, it's so weird because then you go into the after event and you're like, no, but come on, Lucy, like, it's so obvious you should have done that. And then you're like, no, it wasn't. Like,
yeah.
And then, you know, it starts with the fact that I had the expectation that you would understand without me telling you, which is stupid.
I mean, it's like with your partner, you both grow up in different homes. Us, yes. Different countries, different cultures.
Yes.
So there's a lot like that your family will do that my family won't, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my family have the tendency to dry dishes and put them away, and your family have the tendency to leave them overnight. I was looking into the kitchen, so I was looking at the dishes.
Okay, yeah, that was, that's, I mean, that's one thing we...
Like, it's an, you have to adapt, like... Like, yeah, I want the dishes dried and put away, and Emilia wants to leave them to dry.
See, it's the fact that you rather do it now, whereas I'm like, the air would just dry it up overnight, and I would just have to put them away. So I have like one less action to do, which is drying things manually.
But I really like the cuisine fermé.
Yes,
it's not fermé.
That I understand, and I think that's like two different ways of living at my dad's house. It's like kitchen closed, it has really to be closed, like,
yeah,
you know, everything
completely clean, completely clean.
At my mom, it's like you can leave things overnight.
yeah. So that's even like within your own two families, like what you notice.
Yeah
Whereas for like, yeah, so when you think about me and you, there's just so many little things that we've grown up differently.
Uh-huh. and weirdly enough, like it's the little things that you only realize once you live together.
Yeah.
And I think that some things are, you know, annoy you because you've never been accustomed to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just another way of doing things. And then I guess it's a balance of like...
As long as you're both kind of doing your part in one way or another, it's it's fair game.
Or like you both have like one foot on each other's ground. Like, you know, there is some middle ground that has been found.
Yeah.
I guess we used to argue a lot on the kitchen.
It's always the kitchen. Like, I wonder if that's the same for other relationships. Like, we even, this brings me to last June, like, we were just about to leave Valencia and my two guy friends were visiting us.
Mm.
And they knew to, like, leave me and you in the kitchen alone because we would argue. But it would just be stupid things. Like, I would have the temperature at 9 and he would put it at 8 or something.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
But we just, I mean, also, these are not serious arguments, but it's just funny how, like, there's always a bit of beef.
Yeah.
Going on in the kitchen.
yeah, that was one. But I don't think that we've ever had like those massive arguments. One was very much about respect, as we mentioned in the first example, like understanding that you don't understand.
Yeah.
And then like to go back to that to this part, by having like kind of this egoistic view that I'm able to understand fully what she's going through or what he's going through, then you force yourself into the other, and then, you know, you just create unnecessary tension.
Yeah.
I think that was another thing that, you know, led to unnecessary arguments, when if things could have just been left for like, you know, 1 hour or 30 minutes or even 10 minutes,
yeah,
it would have like resolved or like avoided things.
Wait, that brings me to one like lesson that we've learned. I think I've always actually felt this way, but like, mm-hmm, using it with us, is like there's certain timings for arguments that are best. And okay. I mean, that means like, if you say you've done something that's left me really hot-headed, that's not the moment for me to talk to you because mm-hmm. I'm hot-headed, and I'll make it a bigger deal than it is, and I'll like go on longer, and I'll probably never really, like, during the argument I won't feel better because mm-hmm. I'm still hot-headed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I leave the situation or you leave the situation for half an hour, we calm down, we come back, and we have a way better conversation.
Yeah.
So there's that timing, but equally, never go to bed unhappy.
Yeah, that was a big one that we learned. We actually, we learned it from a video from Matt Diavera. Remember?
No, that's like, it's a really old saying with people.
Really?
Like, never go to sleep in an argument.
I think we probably saw it somewhere, both, and then we included it without speaking about it.
But we maybe we've always done it, though.
Yeah, we kind of have this mutual agreement that no one goes to bed with like hot-headed or yeah. like angry or sad yeah. or, you know.
I'm like a real empath, so even if it's not me that's angry or sad, it's like you that's angry or sad. I physically can't sleep until I know we've like talked about it. Like I'll just start, I don't know, getting anxious, like
yeah.
and I won't sleep. I've never been able to sleep when I'm like in a mood with someone or someone's in a mood with me.
Uh-huh.
So like I'll stay awake till 4 a.m. before I have the courage to say, oh, God's sake, can we just talk about it now?
Yeah, that was a big one. I think that yeah. It helped. But that's more on the success part, I would say.
True. So how else have we failed?
I think that there were so many times where I was working or you were working and one starts to speak and somehow you still expect the other one to answer.
Yeah.
When they're definitely working.
We both do this actually still to this day, to be honest.
And I think that, you know, sometimes, like, I'm on the couch, I have my thinking face, full focus, and you come in the room and you start speaking and you expect an answer or you expect attention from me. And I'm like, and I still,
likewise when I do my YouTube videos, yeah, by the way.
Yeah. Or like your dissertation or anything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I think I used to do it a lot when you were working, and I would come in and I'll be like, speaking, and you know.
Yeah.
And then
Mike, leave me alone.
You leave me alone. And then I think that, you know, it sucks because you're in the mood maybe to speak or like, you know, to share something, and then the other one just cannot.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because like during the day, I don't know, I always get really excited to tell you, like, because I'm guilty for this. I always get really excited to tell you something because you don't take a lunch break. I don't have this like 30 minute period where I can sit and talk to you about what was on my mind. And like for some reason at 5 p.m. like it's too late to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I no longer care. And so I'm always like trying to push for Emilio to have this lunch break that he mm-hmm. never has.
But like I would be coding something or writing a very serious message, and you know, Lucy would tell me like, where's the salt, or where's the chicken broth? And I'll be like, for fuck's sake, like, can you not yeah. see I'm busy? And then it happens so many times. But we both do it. Like, I would come in.
We both still do it. This is not a resolved issue.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
think
yeah.
it ever will be.
And it's just like, you can see, you know, obviously you hear someone speaking and you're still doing your thing. And then the two starts merging. Yeah. And then you're like, ugh. Fuck's sake.
I think like my version of the way to handle this is to like, if you imagine your thought process, your message, like end the sentence, whether that's me like cutting the clip the way I need to cut it mm-hmm. or finishing that sentence that I'm writing for my diss, or for you like getting that line of code done, then like having the little because it's like you can't really say to the person like, I really don't have a minute for you to talk to. We always do, like we're not doing any serious jobs, we're like someone's at harm if we take a 2 minute break.
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen. But you feel like in your head, like, leave me alone. Even though you could just put the full stop, whatever it is, like metaphorically, literally, and then just talk.
You know, I'm just thinking about the fact that when those moments happen, you know, you come into the room, you speak, and then the other one like either doesn't say a word,
yeah,
or like doesn't acknowledge you. And the worst thing that the other one can say is, okay, I see. Or like, you know, okay. And then
we both do that.
And then we both do it. And then I remember like lately when it did happen, I was like, if I want Lucy to stop disturbing me or stop talking, I need to pause, say, Lucy, sorry, I'm working. And I'm like, it's kind of a way to make your point across, but like, I think usually I would say, give me 5 minutes or like, give me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I will come back to you. And then we speak and speak. But like, I know that in the moment, I need to say it immediately.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, one of us is going to be like, like pissed.
Yeah. I wish it wasn't rude to just do that. Yeah. But it is very rude. But like, that kind of like says, oh, like, not now.
Yeah.
But it's rude. Like, I wouldn't like it if you did that to me, and I wouldn't like doing that to you. Mm-hmm. I wonder if anyone knows how to deal with that. But it's not even just a relationship thing. It's like with anyone, like my old flatmates, it was like this when I lived with my family. They would do the same things. It's just a cute, like, because in our head, we're like, I really want to tell him this little story that will take 10 seconds of his time. Nothing's going to happen if he takes 10 seconds of his work, but it does, like, break your thought.
So yeah.
There's a reason why people don't like doing it.
Because, like, maybe, I mean, in my case, most of the time, I'm, like, deep into something. I need to, like, my thoughts are, like, really, like, my brain is working super hard. And then, you know, if you take a 10, 30-second break, your thoughts are like gone.
Yeah.
And then you need to go back again into that same mindset of like a space that you were at when you were working, and you don't find it necessarily immediately. So you're like, I've just wasted 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's true. So I think that it always hurts to hear, no, I can't speak to you now. Give me 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a thing that you need to accept.
I'm probably never gonna stop doing it, to be honest. Like, I'm just thinking about it, and you'll never stop doing it either.
Yeah,
you always come into the room too, like, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Another one I had, we mentioned last time, actually last week at the end of the episode, was the difference in the way we perceive money.
Yeah,
that was a big one that we have.
That's maybe the biggest for us, actually.
Yeah, you do mention many times this thing that, you know, most people argue
40% of divorces are due to finance issues.
Yeah.
In the US.
And in our case, it wasn't necessarily like a financial struggle, but it was more like
the way we handle money separately, and then when you get into relationship, learning to kind of like combine that.
Yeah. So
like, the my money is yours, yours is mine.
And also like a different relationship with money. Like, by the way we were brought up.
Yeah. I have a very stingy Scottish stereotype family. So naturally, I'm trying to break that barrier and not be a stingy Scottish person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, like, I was lucky enough that we never had to like worry about this thing, but then we also never took it for granted, but we also always shared. Like, for example, I remember when I was in high school, like, I would always invite, you know, the friends or anyone for lunch. Like, I wouldn't even think twice about it. It was all about, you know, you give. And my dad would always say, when there's money for everybody. When there's no money, there's no money. Mm-hmm. And I kind of always applied it. Like, I would never count too much on, you know, count the money that people technically owe me.
Oh.
Owe me.
Oh.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Oh.
Not ho. Oh.
Oh. Oh. Owe me. My owe me.
Okay.
They would, it was just like, I am genuinely having pleasure buying you lunch or like buying you something.
Mm-hmm.
And I had immediately the same, and I usually have this immediate way of doing things, even with people that I don't necessarily know very well. It's just my way of, you know, getting along, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think it was because money is such an essential part of one's life, because it's everywhere technically. It's in the way you are brought up, and it's in the way you spend, it's the way you perceive money. It was something that we had differences with.
Yeah.
Because we're definitely on the like other side, like kind of
we're very opposite with money. It's probably the biggest like difference that we have. I don't know, also like weird different stages in our life right now. Like you think about it, I'm a student and Emilio has a job. So so like we're in different financial situations.
Yeah.
So naturally I'm going to be more stingy with my money because there isn't a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with someone with a job, it's like you don't have to worry about it as much. And so I kind of think that won't really come into place until like we're both on equal grounds and we're both working.
Yeah, I mean, you were very, at least like for the longest time, very pressured to be, like the way at least I perceived it was that you always had a balance in mind.
I think as a woman that works, there's like this kind of thing in your head that's like, the man can't pay for more. It's like, screw the patriarchy.
Yeah.
You're working women, like, it's equal. And so it's kind of like, it's hard to be like, oh no, do you know what? He wants to buy me lunch because he wants to buy me lunch. Like, in my head, I'm like, okay, that was £17. Next time, I need to spend at least £17. Otherwise, he'll be paying for more. And I've had to, like, I think I'm okay now at it. But yeah, the first, like, probably 2 years almost, I would always, in my head, be like, I think he's been paying for more lately, so I've got to pay for more stuff.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Exactly. And it also like took some pleasure out of it because like, because I wouldn't count initially, you know, who spent the most, you know, in the last 30 days or like something. It was really like, oh, I'm just buying, like, you know, tonight I'm buying, like, I feel like it, like, you know, fuck it.
Yeah.
It's my pleasure. And then because I knew you would be counting stuff, I'll be like, oh, you know, like it takes some joy out of it because you're like, okay, I know that maybe money isn't as easy on the other side, so let's not pay as much when I pay, so that, you know, there's no, and it was it took us some time to realize that we have different relationships with money, and also like you had a hard time accepting that my money was your money.
Yeah,
remember? And like you were like, there's no way until we like married that, you know, my money is your money.
Yeah. I don't know, like, I don't know why I feel that way. Like, I guess it just comes back to the whole like emo thing, like, I don't want to ever have to rely on a man for money.
Uh-huh. Whereas like I saw it as a, you know, we're a couple, I mean, we've decided to be a couple, we live together, like, I don't see differences in
it's not like we're fresh in a relationship. We've been living together for 3 years.
Yeah,
like
we're
pretty set as a couple. So like now I'm a bit more chill about it.
But to
like definitely at the start, I was like, no, like his money's his, mine is mine. Separate.
Yeah.
But I just wonder like how other couples deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially couples in Scotland.
Let us know. If we're looking for any Scottish couples.
Are you guys like 50-50? Obviously. In my head, definitely Scottish couples are 50-50.
Really?
If there's someone that pays more than I don't know how.
Okay.
That's my version of it.
And but weirdly enough, because we said that, you know, it was a big one. It did bring, would you say anxiety on your side? Or like, you were always pressured, kind of?
Yeah. Yeah, pressured.
Anyway,
because I was like feeling pressured to be like you with money when I wasn't really there yet.
Yeah, and it's not fun.
No.
And I think that, again, we go back to saying that I kind of, because it was my way of being brought up and I didn't really question it, I expected you that you would be the same with money, you know, like, and also because I immediately saw the two of us as being, you know, one in terms of like couple and spending. I was like, you know, it's probably, we probably feel the same way regarding that. And then when kind of the financial issues like came in, like you could see the differences in the way we handle emotionally and financially this aspect.
Yeah.
Which, as you mentioned, brings a lot of arguments in modern couples, apparently.
Yeah, because you have to you have to either find common ground or like mm-hmm. go over to someone's side. So like yeah. it was me going into your side, so I obviously was more uncomfortable than you.
Yeah. And then also at one point we also acknowledged that, okay, I have a job, so you know, because at the beginning I didn't have a job, you had a job, and then we both had a job, and then I had a job.
No, it was,
I mean, you always had a job. You always had a job.
I always had a job.
You always had a job. But I had a job that was earning more than you.
Yeah.
And so it took us some time to say, you know.
Until like a few months ago.
Yeah, a few months ago. When we said we were trying to pay rent. And then we said, you had the courage, I would say, to say, hey, I'm not earning as much as you. You earn way more than me. Let's do a more equal split, depending on how much we bring to the table. And so yeah. that's when we decided to do, okay, 60%, 40%.
Yeah.
And then I think that also was a way to go towards your ground a bit, which we hadn't necessarily done before.
Mm-hmm.
And would you say it has worked well since?
I think it's fairer. For sure, because there's also like there were costs like me moving in with you and yeah. being in the UK that then I had to pay for extra stuff, like council tax. Moving in with you, I now have to pay council tax, which I do. Yeah. So there's like little balances and stuff where I'm like, okay, well, I'm not having to pay all this, so like let's balance out a little bit because mm-hmm. you're earning 3 times more than me. So it's fair that you pay a little bit more. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's. That was hard to like accept because I've always wanted to do 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But then also my thought process in that was, okay, our savings are both going towards the same thing probably.
Yeah.
Our future together. It's not like you're going to buy a car that's just for you and that's what your savings is for.
It's me car.
It's like, it's probably going towards a house if not something that we're both sharing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought it would be fairer if I could be contributing more to the savings.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing the 40% rather than 50%, that gave me that extra 10% where I felt like, okay, when it comes to buying a house, like I've got money on the deposit too. Like it's not just you.
Yeah, yeah. And that's actually a good thing that, you know, whenever we compute our savings.
Yeah.
It's always like, oh, damn, we have X
amount. Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, I have X and then you have Y and then, you know, like.
Yeah, because probably it's going to the same thing.
I think that's also like it's a challenging, I mean, at least it was a challenging aspect in the relationship. And as you mentioned, that it seems to be a problematic one. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good learning curve.
Yeah.
On that side as well.
Yeah, just like maybe more so for me than you, because we adapted to your methods where it's like, okay, well, you know, his money technically is my money. My money is technically his because we're all we're buying the same things and we're buying for each other. We buy the same groceries. We buy the same cleaning products. We go out to dinner together. So like everything I'm earning is being spent on us and likewise.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, why am I so separate with my money when it's literally always me and you?
Yeah.
The things.
We go on vacation, pay twice, pay 50-50, like. It's always like, oh, I buy the tickets, you buy the tickets. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I think that was really big, two big ones. Yeah. I would say understanding that you don't understand.
Communication, dealing with arguments, finance.
Yeah.
And lastly, just honesty. Like, I think there's uh-huh. some things that are hard to admit. But like you'd said a few episodes ago, if you just say it out loud, it will suck for 10 minutes. And then afterwards,
mm-hmm.
you're better in the couple for being honest about it.
Yeah.
Which again brings back to the point of arguments where if something's upsetting you, when you're not hot-headed and it's like you've taken time to breathe and think about it, talk to your partner about it. Don't hold it in because it's going to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be arguing to them about the fact they spilled a little dribble of tomato ketchup on the table when it's really about how they've been emotionally unavailable or something, like
yeah. That it's true that like it's better to have the argument immediately than to holding onto it And then you have a big bomb exploding in the
and
middle of the living room.
You're really mad at them, but you don't even, like, it doesn't even make sense why, because that day they didn't do anything necessarily bad.
It's like 3 weeks ago you did that, and then 2 weeks ago you did that.
Yeah, it's better to just say it as it is. I think, like, it's better for a relationship.
Yeah, and if I think that we really dived into it on the Honesty Truth episode. That was a big one.
And that's what, season 2, episode 1?
Into episode 2, I think. No?
Maybe.
I think. Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
What do you say?
That was the first one of 2023, I think.
Okay.
So maybe refer back to that one if you're interested. But yeah, it's a massive one. It's what the foundation of the skyscraper that a relationship is based on. Mm-hmm. So it'd rather be rocks than sand.
Yes, you would hope so.
Yeah, I think that's... do you have any other ways our relationship has failed from...
I think we've covered most of it. Like, we've covered it pretty fairly.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, the important thing is, look at us. We're so happy together. But yeah, we've just spoken for however many minutes about problems we've had.
Yeah.
Like, it's normal to have issues in a relationship. And if there's no issues, I always have the gut feeling that there's a hidden issue that no one's spoken about.
And the great thing is that, you know, we have this episode where we spoke seriously, but also with a smile on our faces. Like, it's things that suck at the time, but when you look back, you're like...
Yeah, you can let go of these issues.
Yeah, they,
that's important, because if you're still like, you know, he still does this, then you clearly haven't resolved them.
They don't have the same label, like when you talk about them and then you resolve them, and you know, there are problems in your memory and not the problem in the present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of these things seem so little when you look back, but it's true. The moment when you're emotionally involved with someone, like, things hurt. Like, people say things, people do things that annoy you, make you sad, make you really happy, and you just like have to kind of realize, look at the bigger picture. Like, okay, well, I love him and I can accept this little issue. We can learn from it and move on.
Yeah. So yeah, like, we don't look at these failures as a failure. It's a piece of the puzzle.
The learning curve.
It's a learning curve. Like, it is. It's learnings, because you can't figure out how your relationship works until you are deep in it.
Yes.
And you know, it's always like, challenges really are a test.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if you can have an hour discussion / argument with your partner
and it goes nowhere.
No, well, yeah, but then afterwards still like cuddle them, have a cup of tea together. Like, you know, you're okay. But if you like, you can't handle these arguments, there's a bigger problem there.
Uh-huh. So yeah, super. Those are two part series, success and failures in our relationship.
Nice.
Maybe you have something to share. We would be super curious as well. How did your relationship?
Is anyone that listens to this in a relationship?
Yeah.
Or also, are you more single?
Yeah, and like, also I'm interested, like, do you share some of these?
Yeah.
Because that would be really insightful to see. And then if you have learned anything, drop us also a comment. It's always interesting to see what people have to say. Since so many people were looking forward to this episode, how does it look?
We're still together, guys, don't we?
Let's go. Okay, well, happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
You've been yawning for the past hour.
It's actually because I'm cold, not because I'm bored. I'm just really cold.
I see.
Okay, well, thank you so much for watching. Emilio, what's your phrase?
Stay awesome.
And
bye-bye.